Welcome to the CC Broadcast, a part of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministries. Join us this week as our radio preacher, Pastor Tim Butker, delivers part one of his message, Loving God Beyond Our Words.
Yes, it is so great to have you with us as we again turn our hearts towards the Lord in worship and praise and honor of who He is, and we open His Word and invite Him to speak to us. We're continuing in our series entitled The Laws of Love, and I'm just encouraged to bring you this message today about loving God beyond our lips. It'll be a two-part message. You'll hear the first part of it this week and the second part next week. I think you'll find it enlightening about the fourth commandment given to us by God, this fourth instruction in how we move into the fullness of life and move down the pathway that He has guided us down to find the abundant life that He promised us. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for giving us Your Word. Thank You for involving Yourself with us down through history. Thank You not only for instructing us in the past before Christ, but then for sending Your Son into the world to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, to pay the penalty for our rebellions, our sins against Your holy nature. As we turn our hearts towards You now in worship and praise, in Your kindness, give us a heart of repentance, a heart of honor, a heart of love for You. We pray this through the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Shall reign.
Our gospel reading today is yet another account in Jesus' life of the religious leaders of his day trying to discount or discredit his ministry, the power he was demonstrating, and his growing influence in the time that he spent here on the earth. It's found in Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9, and we like to, in honor of God's word and the gospel reading, to invite you to stand, if you're able, for this reading. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat?" He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But if you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me, I give to God,' then the person need not honor their father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" The word of our Lord.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed
continuing in our series here today entitled The Laws of Love. It is a series, as we stated from the very beginning, born out of the heart of God, giving us instruction and direction in our lives. The very heart of God is a heart of love. God is love, and in him there is no darkness, the Bible tells us. And so when he does anything, it comes out of the very core of who he is, which is a great, powerful, purifying, demonstrating love. And not only is creation all of a display of God's glory and his love, his beauty, his majesty, but so are his laws, his ways. The first verbal law that God gave in the scriptures is the law he gave to Adam, not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when we eat of it, we would surely die. And now, because of Adam's disobedience to the first law of God, we are aware of evil. And we understand that evil is present in our world, and we experience decay and death because of our disobedience against God's first law. But we are looking now at the first written instructions from God. The Bible says he penned these with his finger in tablets of stone. These are God's instructions for us, given in love to us, to guide us down the pathway of life. Jesus said of these laws, which we have numbered as 10 of them, they can all be hung on two, which is, first of all, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then second, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets can be hung on those two laws, laws of love. And these are instructions about God's commissioning to us about love, how to love God first through the first three or four, depending on how you number them. Different traditions number them differently. And the last
5 through 10 or 4 through 10 about how we are to love each other by God's definition, not by human ideas of love. What has God said to us about love? There in his laws, his axioms, his ways, his principles. The first one, if we are to experience and know love that comes to us, all love comes from the heart of God, we must simply, as God said, put him first. Have no other gods before him. Thou shalt have no other gods, God said, before me. This is very loving of him to say, because he is the source of our lives. He is the source of our breath. He is the source of human flourishing. He is the source of all things that are good. And that's why God has said in love to us as part of his creation, made in his image, come to me first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Jesus, and all that you need will be given to you. It's very loving, a heavenly father saying, come to me first. And then in his second instruction, he says, don't go elsewhere first. Don't have any graven images or idols that you bow down before. Don't have some other thing, created thing or person, something a part of creation that you put before me. For the things of creation came from him and they're fading away and he is eternal and everlasting. So God in love is inviting us to come to him first and turn away from other things that we would prioritize above him. Money and pleasure and ease and other things, the lusts of the flesh, the pride of life. And as we turn away from those things and turn towards God, we can be infused with his life. And now he goes on, continuing to instruct us in his guidance for how we are to love him, knowing that we're sinful, he instructs us with what we need. And I want to talk to you today about this third instruction he gives, and I have entitled it, Loving God Beyond Our Words, Not Just With Our Mouths. Wayne read it out of Deuteronomy chapter 5. It's in verse 11 when Moses was recounting these instructions for the Israelites before they went into the promised land. But it was given by God and were recorded for us in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, when he wrote it with his finger on a tablet for Moses. And he said this, you shall not take the name of the Lord our God in vain. For the Lord will not hold those guiltless who take his name in vain. What is God saying here? What does this instruction mean? To understand what God is saying to us here, in my mind, we have to understand what does God mean by a name, his name? And then what does God mean about taking a name and then doing it in vain? What is a name to God? To us as human beings, we describe a name in our modern day as a word or set of words by which a person, animal, place, or thing is known, addressed, or referred to by. For instance, we have a building in our nation known as the White House. That's its name. And most people know when you mention the White House specifically what we're talking about. It's a reference to a place. When I describe the place of Nazareth Church to people, which is the name of this church here, this building and this body, I describe it with two names. It's at two street names. It's at the corner of University and Main. I use names to identify these things. And that's generally how we use names. But I was talking with the children about deeper meanings behind names. And when you get into the scriptures, this is how God sees a name. He sees a name more than just an identifier of something. He sees a name describing the essence of someone or something. And so we see this in the Bible in Genesis when God first gave a name to someone. Here's how he did it. He formed the first man from the dust of the ground, from the earth, from the soil, from the dirt. And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And it says in the text, God gave him the name Adama. Adama. It is the Hebrew word for earth, ground, or soil. It signifies that the essence of Adam came from the earth and that his life came from God. That Adam himself is a creation, a part of the creation, and he is of soil and dirt. From dust we came, to dust we shall return. But the life in Adam comes from God. And it is a description of our humanity, the first name, Adam. It can also mean red or ruddy, as if from clay. So God gave the first man a name, Adam, and it was not just an identifier of who he was, it was a description of his essence, his very being. Then we see the second name given to the first woman, and she was created differently. You see, God made Adam from the dust of the ground, but the first woman was taken from the flesh of the first man. A portion of his flesh, God caused him to fall into a deep sleep, was taken, and God fashioned together another being out of the flesh from Adam. And then he brought this being to the man, and Adam now was given naming rights, and he said to this new being, he said, "This is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called," and here it is, "woman," out from man. The essence of a woman is coming from a man. God separated us at that point into two genders, but we came from one. And now we're separated into two. And so she is called woman. It's her essence coming out from man. And then later, Adam would give her a specific name, and that name would be Eve. Eve comes from the Hebrew word Hava, or Eva, Eve, which means in her essence, she is the source of all of human life, to give life, to live. And the Bible says Adam called her Eve because she would become the mother of all the living, the Eve of humankind. Are we sensing that a name is more than an identifier? In God's economy, a name is a description of the essence of a being, the essence of a person, the essence of a thing. So when we read this text, we should look into what this word for Lord means. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain, is what God is saying to us. The word Lord is capitalized this way over 6,000 times in the Old Testament because it is a reference to the personal name of God, which the Jewish people did not like to utter out of reverence. They thought it was too holy and too respectful to be uttered his specific name, so they capitalize L-O-R-D in the scripture text, referring to his personal name, which is Yahweh. Yahweh. And so what does Yahweh mean? Yahweh means, in the context throughout the whole scriptures, that God is declaring to us the essence of who he is, and it literally means, from the Hebrew verb to be or to exist, the existing one. In other places, God says, "My name is I am. I exist. I am the existing one. I am who I am. I always have been, from eternity past to eternity future. I am." That is Yahweh. He is the most real thing that exists. Everything else that exists is a spin out from the great I am, Yahweh. And you can begin to see why the Jewish people revered the name, because, you know, we have this modern day idea that refers to God as source, and I've said this before, it's a kind of a new age way of referring to God, and it's true, he is the source, but his name is Yahweh, Yahweh. And it has been argued that you and I honor his name thousands of times every day by design. Because when we breathe, if you just quiet down and listen, every human being that is alive and breathes, just listen when you breathe. Hear it? The breath of life comes from Yahweh. That is his name. Yahweh. This is a name. It means life. It is the source of all things. It is a reference to the Creator. But there are many other names in the scriptures about God. And when he is using this, there's a reference to him being a jealous God right before this. And another portion of the Bible says his name is jealous, not in the jealousy of sinful jealousy, but in a jealousy of longing for people to come, get to know him. He's given us free choice because he wants us to be in his presence and experience his life and enjoy fellowship with him. He's jealous for this. His name is jealous. Just like sometimes when my wife is gone for a period of time, or we're separated, I become jealous to be near her. But God has given other names. El Roi, the God who sees. It's a description of his essence. It's not just a personal name that he's always been there. He's one who sees all things. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. The everlasting Father, the eternal shepherd of his people's souls. And then, of course, Jesus is given names. Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, he himself, the everlasting Father, Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. When he returns, his name will be written on his thigh in red blood, it says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. These are all descriptions of the essence of the plural God, Elohim, who was there in the beginning. In the beginning, Elohim, the three in one, said, let there be light, and there was light. He's known as Adonai, the master of all, El Shaddai, all sufficient, all powerful, El Elyon, the most high God. So a name is an essence of someone or something. Now, what does it mean to take a name? To take a name. My parents, I talked with the children about this, they gave me a name, Timothy, and I've stuck with it. We obviously have the freedom to change a name. People go down and can change their names. It's kind of a, maybe kind of cool, hip thing to do for some people now. But I believe in God's sovereignty. He often gives people names, and I have received into my being the essence of Timothy, one who honors God. And that is a part of the mission of my life. And then Carl, I like Carl. It comes from nobility. It comes from strong, free men. I'm going to keep that name. I take that name. I like Butker. It comes from ruddy, hardworking, barrel-making men. And so I have received into my heart and being the name Timothy Carl Butker, and I work to live the essence of my name. I don't want to take it in vain or in a meaningless way. What does it mean for you to take a name? My wife used to have a different name, but when we got married, she took my last name and has now taken to herself and her essence of being the name Butker. She's owned it and taken it. It's to take it for ourselves, to take the nature of someone or something into our mouths, our being, our identity. And what does it mean to do this in vain? God has said to love him well, we should not take his essence or his being and claim it for ourselves in vain. What does that mean? To claim it for ourselves in a meaningless or dishonoring way. Some versions say you should not misuse the name of the Lord.
You've been listening to part one of Pastor Tim Butker's message, Loving God Beyond Our Words. Tune in next week to hear part two or check out our website, ChristianCrusaders.org.
above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth.
Hi, this is Andrew Nordstrom, Technical Director of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministries. Thanks for tuning in to today's broadcast. Our primary goal is to proclaim Jesus Christ as the Redeemer of the world and to promote the truth of God's Word. In addition to this weekly broadcast, we have three podcasts which you can listen to for free on our website, ChristianCrusaders.org, or on our free mobile app. The first podcast is a Bible overview devotion called the Daily Dose Devotions. The second podcast features inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. It's called the CC Podcast Conversations. Our newest podcast is Homer Larson Live, which features a powerful series of sermons from one of our former radio preachers recorded live over his five-decade ministry to his local church.
Today you've been listening to the broadcast transmission of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministries. We're one of America's longest-running radio ministries, on the air since 1936. We are completely donor-funded and donations are tax-deductible. They can be sent to 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613, or made online at ChristianCrusaders.org. Thank you for tuning into this broadcast. We'll be here again next week at the same time, and until then, may God richly bless you.